would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'd like to read the last two verses of Scripture there. We've been trying to study about some of the purposes of the gospel. Why has God given us the Bible? There are a lot of different reasons. In fact, there are many, many different reasons that are specifically mentioned in the Word of God. There are times that God will say, now, these things I have written unto you, and then He will tell us the reason He's written those things, the reason that God has spoken these things to us. And that's what we're trying to do, is try to get a better understanding of why has God given us His Holy Word. Why do we have the Bible? We need to understand why God's given us the Word of God. And I believe the more we understand about why God has given us the Bible, the greater appreciation we'll have for the Word of God. The Bible is extremely important. All the different reasons that God has given us the Bible, every one of those reasons is a wonderful reason. If there was only one reason God gave us the Bible, it would be important. But there are a number of different reasons, and one of those reasons is expressed here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Word of God says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. There are a lot of different statements there. There's one main truth. I know that you can say, well, this is the most important phrase there, or this is the most important phrase. First of all, let me just remind you that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is the Word of God. It's not just the writings of men. It's the Word of God. We need to thank God for that. Thank God that He's given us His Word. The main thought, if you go back and study this carefully, though there are several different thoughts expressed in different ways, and they all kind of center around one truth. And that's found in the beginning of verse 17. The beginning of verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect. God's given us His Word. He says all Scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. But the main thought that I want us to look at today is that God has given us His Word, He's given us the Scriptures, that the man of God may be perfect. Now, it's not given to us to make children of God, is it? That's not what it says. He says He's given us the Word that the man of God, he's already a man of God, he's already a child of God. The Bible does not cause people to become children of God or to become alive. You don't get born again through the preaching of the gospel. But it's after a person is born in the Spirit of God that they have an ear to hear. And when the people of God will hear the Word of God and believe and obey the Word of God, it brings them to, what's the word here? That the man of God may be what? That the man of God may be perfect. There ought to be an immediate flag that goes up in your mind right there. Probably almost every child of God is going to say, what? I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. We can't be perfect. All of that is true. And yet there is a perfection we can reach. You cannot be absolutely perfect in this life. Does everybody understand that? There has never been but one person on this earth that was absolutely perfect in every way, and that's Jesus Christ. Nobody else has ever been absolutely perfect in this life. God is absolutely perfect. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world, He was and is absolutely perfect in every way. And I think that's what the people of God mean when they say, I can't be perfect. And that is a true statement, that you cannot be absolutely perfect. And in the same breath, I would say that if you deny that you can be perfect in the sense the Bible talks about, you're denying the Word of God. So many people are so ignorant of God's Word that they will argue about something that they haven't looked at all that God's Word has to say on the subject. And while it is true that you cannot be absolutely perfect, it is also true that there is a perfection you can have while you live here in this world. And the people of God ought to be perfect. The word perfect, when I say the word, the people of God ought to be perfect, that word means spiritually mature and upright. There is a perfection, spiritual maturity, and God's Word calls it perfect. Is it different than absolute perfection? Is that different? Yes, it's completely different. You will not be absolutely perfect in every way until the final resurrection, when you're conformed to the image of the Son of God. That's when you will be made absolutely perfect. But there's a perfection you can have while you live here in this world, and there's a perfection that is commanded by God for you to be perfect. God repeatedly commands His people to be perfect. Do you know of anybody that the Bible tells us was perfect? Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. The Bible says that man was, fill in the blank, that man was perfect. Now, don't deny that you can be perfect. There is a perfection you can reach. That man was perfect and upright, a man that feared God and shunned evil. The Word of God also tells us about a man named Noah. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9 that Noah was upright and he was perfect in his generation. That kind of helps shed some light on being perfect, doesn't it? When the Word of God says there that Noah was perfect in his generations, what picture do you kind of get there? You kind of get that, you look at that generation or those generations of people, and you'll find that there was a man that was outstanding. There was a man that was spiritually mature. There was a man that stood out. And that man's name was Noah. And God's Word says that man was perfect in his generations. Was he as perfect as God is perfect? Absolutely not. Was he completely perfect in every way? He was not. He sinned. But the Bible says he was perfect. Does everybody see the difference in absolute perfection and the perfection God's people can reach while they live here in this world? Now, why has God given us His Word? He says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We need to be perfect. We need to pray that God will help us to be perfect. And we need to understand that we need the Word of God in order to be what? Perfect. How are we going to decide what perfection is? How are you going to decide how to live in order to be spiritually mature and upright? The only way you can know the right way to go and the right things to do in order to be perfect is by studying the Word of God. You can't know what the right way is without studying the Word of God. Do you know why I can't figure out what's the right way to go? Do you know why I cannot figure out how to live a life that's perfect in the way God's describing here? I can't figure it out because my ways are not God's ways. Brethren, God's ways are so far above our ways, they're as high above our ways as the heavens are above the earth. You can't figure out how to live a perfect life. In fact, you'll find that when you read and study the Word of God, there are many times that the Word of God tells you to do something that you think that just doesn't make sense. I don't see why we have to do it that way. I don't see why that's the best way. You don't have to understand why. I'll tell you something my daddy always told me. Now, I know there's a different philosophy in the world today. You know where I'm going, don't you? Brother James, I can just imagine you saying to your daddy, why? Why have I got to go do that? What would have happened to you, Brother James?
Serious consequences.
You don't ask why. Most any parents that understand respect of authority understand you don't have to explain why to your children. You tell them to do something, they're to do what you say and not ask questions. Does everybody understand that? The reason people have so little respect for God today is that people, parents, are not requiring respect of their children. You don't ask God why. Who art thou that repliest against God? Who is it that would question God? The whole point I'm trying to get to right here is God's given us His Word. Do what His Word says. Follow His Word. That's the only way to be perfect. You want to be perfect parents? Can you be perfect parents? You can't be absolutely perfect, but can you be perfect parents in the way we're studying this morning? How can you be perfect parents? The only way you can be perfect parents is to follow the Word of God. Why has God given us His Word? One of the reasons is that the man of God may be perfect. You can be perfect in your homes. You can be perfect on your jobs. You can be a perfect member of the church. Am I saying you can be absolutely perfect? Absolutely not in this world. But I'm saying there is a perfection. God's given us His Word so that we can be perfect. God says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father is perfect." I can't be perfect to the same degree that He can, but I can be perfect in the same manner that He's perfect. Can I have love in my heart for people even when they don't love me? See, that's a level of spiritual maturity that we have to strive for. We have to follow God's Word in order to be perfect. Go with me in your Bibles just a moment. I want you to turn to Ephesians. Please look in your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 4. Please look in your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to remember now, we're talking about perfection is a condition of spiritual maturity and uprightness that we can achieve while we live here in this world. In Ephesians chapter 4. And again, now, I want to ask you this question. It's important. They're inseparably connected. You're going to be perfect. What do you have to have? What are you going to have to follow? Why has God given us the Word? He says, all Scripture is given to you that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Listen now to Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. Let me ask you just before we start reading it, why do you need a preacher? You don't have to have me as a preacher, but why do you need a preacher? All right, to preach the Word. That's what he says right after he says what he did over there that we read as a text. He said, preach the Word. Why do we need the Word preached? Why has God given us pastors and teachers and preachers? Why has He given us those men? Why has He called men to do that? For the what? For the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting of what? Saints. Are they already children of God before they ever hear the gospel? Certainly they are. They can't hear the Word of God unless they've already been born of the Spirit of God. This idea that you've got to take the Word of God and preach to people in order for them to get born again and saved eternally is contrary to the teaching of God's holy Word. Brethren, they cannot hear unless God has already quickened them. Jesus says, why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my Word. The people of God are the only ones who can hear and understand the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, now beginning in verse 11. Why has God given us the gospel? One of the reasons is that the man of God may be perfect. Watch this carefully. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11, the Word of God says, and He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Do you know there's something in common with all of those categories? What do you think is in common of all those? Doesn't matter whether you talk about an apostle, or a prophet, or an evangelist, or pastors, or teachers. Doesn't matter which one of them you want to talk about. What is it that's in common with all of those? What do they do? Say it again. That's right. They believe in the Bible and they teach the Bible. All of these different categories that we've just mentioned here, they all believe in the Bible and they all teach the Bible. And he says, here's the reason God's given you these kinds of men. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? Verse 12. Verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints. Do you see that? Why has He given all those men to teach and preach the Word of God? For the perfecting of the saints. Do you think I'm trying to get you to be perfect? Sometimes people say, I get tired of you trying to make me be perfect. Well, that's just my life job. That's just my responsibility. I have that's a calling that I have. It's for you and me. You need to try to help me be perfect. That's part of the function of the church, is for us to help each other be perfect, to keep growing, to become more spiritually mature, to become better Christians in our lives. He's given these men for the what? For the perfecting of the dead alien sinner, get them alive? No, for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen, brethren, the only people that are ever edified by the Word of God are those that are part of the body of Christ. And it's for the edification. God's given us His Word for the edifying, for the learning, for the instruction of the body of Christ. Have you ever learned anything from God's Word? Listen, if you've never learned anything from God's Word, you've got to be a dead alien sinner. You know, if you're here this morning, I know everybody here, if you've never learned anything, you just... Something, and I don't believe there's any dead alien sinners here. I'm just saying, you've learned something from God's Word, haven't you? You've learned. You've learned. You've learned a lot. But is there a lot more for you to learn? As long as you live. Did you know that as long as I live and as long as you live, we haven't even scratched the surface? If a person were to live to be 100 years old and spend his entire life under the blessings of the Spirit of God, reading and studying the Word of God, did you know he wouldn't even scratch the surface on the depth of the riches that are found in the Word of God? It's amazing to me that you can read a passage of Scripture or a verse of Scripture, and when God's Spirit begins to open it up, it just becomes a deep well of water. You can't ever draw all the truth there is out of a passage of Scripture. The Word of God is given for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's given for the perfecting of the saints. Brother James, can you help me be more perfect? Yes, you can. Every one of you can. And many of you do. You work at helping me be a better man of God for the perfecting of the saints. The Word of God is given for the perfecting of the saints. Listen to verse 13. He says He's given these men for the perfecting of the saints. Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the flesh. Unity of the faith. Well, that's a different statement. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Listen, brethren, you know what we're trying to have as a church body? We want the unity of the faith. That's the purpose of the preaching of the gospel, is for the perfecting of the saints. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'll tell you, you picture a perfect Christ. And that's what our striving should be toward. Though we're not as perfect as He is, and will never be as perfect as He is, that ought to be our goal, that ought to be our objective, that ought to be what we're trying to do, is be like Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children. You know the opposite of this perfection, spiritual maturity. You know the opposite of all that is to be like little children that are tossed to and fro with every what? Every wind of doctrine. What is the Word of God given for? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for what? For doctrine. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. It helps the church stop being children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Did you know there's so much ignorance in the churches today that people can come and preach something completely contrary to the truth of the Word of God, and the people never even recognize what's wrong with being preached? Do you know why? It's because the people don't know the Word of God. They're not perfect. They're still babes in Christ. They're not growing. And he says, I'm teaching you all these things so that you won't be children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now listen carefully to verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we may... What's those next two words there? Grow up. Grow up. I remember Daddy telling me that when I'd be about 16 to 18 years old. Too. Grow up. Well, I thought it was grown up. Well, I was still acting like a child. God's people need to grow up. Spiritually is what we're talking about here. We need to grow up. We can't grow up unless we begin to take and live by the Word of God. Just knowing what God's Word says, if we're not going to do what God's Word says, we'll never grow up. Growing up, the perfecting of the saints comes from hearing, believing, and obeying the Word of God. It causes the perfecting of the saints, the growing up of the saints, the spiritual maturity of the saints. Grow up. Grow up. Do we need the Word of God? Is the Word of God important for the people of God to be able to grow up? It's for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. Go with me now to Acts chapter 18. Look carefully here. I just want you to pray that God will help us as we look at the Word of God in Acts chapter 18. There was a man here named Apollos in Acts chapter 18. Now, before I read from Acts chapter 18, before I read about Apollos, let me just tell you, Apollos needed to be taught, okay? Let me just tell you that first. Apollos needed to be taught. He needed to be taught. Was he an ignorant man? Was he a man that didn't have any knowledge of the Word of God? Let's see what God's Word says. Look at Acts chapter 18, starting with verse 24. Acts 18, verse 24. The Word of God says, "Unto a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria," listen carefully, "an eloquent man." Well, you can be eloquent without knowing anything about the Word of God. "But he was an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures." Did he know the Word of God? I want you to get the picture here. You've got a man here that is much like he's an almost mature Christian, okay? He's an almost mature Christian. He's a man that's mighty in the Scriptures, and he came to Ephesus. Verse 25 says, "This man was instructed in the way of the Lord." Did he already know about the way of the Lord? God had instructed him. Others had instructed him. He was growing. He was very close to being perfect and being fervent in the Spirit. "He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John." Whoops! A little something wrong there. Wasn't there? The only baptism he knew about was what? Baptism of John. The Word of God says in verse 26, "And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." Now, you know what happened to Apollos? Was he already a smart man? Was he a man full of the Spirit? Was he a man teaching and preaching the Word of God? But what did he still need? He still needed some more instruction. He still was missing the whole truth. And the Word of God goes on in Acts chapter 19 and tells us about Paul and other men preaching to people, and they were just like Apollos. The only baptism they knew anything about was John's baptism. But when they heard about Jesus Christ, and they saw the whole truth about Jesus Christ, you know what those people did? They were baptized in a different way. It was still water baptism, but it was under a totally different belief system than they had been under. Look now in Luke chapter 8. We'll close here in Luke chapter 8. No, we're not quite closed there, but we're almost going to close in Luke chapter 8. Back up to Luke chapter 8. I want you to listen carefully. All of you are familiar with the parable of the sower. Parable of the sower. This is where a man went out to sow seed. Some seed fell by the wayside. Some fell on the rock. Some fell among the briars and thorns and thistles. And some fell on good ground. Let me tell you, brethren, all four of these different categories represent children of God. You go home and read and study this passage of Scripture. It's not talking about three were dead alien sinners that weren't saved eternally. It's talking about all four categories are talking about redeemed children of God. In Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 9. Luke 8, verse 9, the Scripture says, And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" He had just spoken to them the parable of the sower. He said, verse 10, "Unto you," pronoun "you" refers back to something in verse 10. What does it refer back to? Unto you. Who? Disciples. See, he says in verse 9, "And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be?" He said, "Unto you," unto the disciples. What's a disciple of Jesus Christ? The follower of Christ, a learner and a follower. "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom." Listen, brethren, there's some great mysteries in God's Word. I think one of the greatest mysteries in all of God's Word, though after you see it, it's no longer a mystery. But if you haven't ever seen the truth of the kingdom of heaven, if you haven't understood that mystery, most of God's Word is going to be a mystery to you. He says, unto you, disciples, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Now what do? They hear. Are they already born of the Spirit of God? Yes, they're born of the Spirit of God. They hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the Word out of their hearts. Where was the Word of God? It had gone right down to their hearts. Brethren, those that are dead in trespasses and sin, the Word of God, they can't hear the Word of God with understanding, and it never goes down into their heart. They heard, the devil came and took the Word out of their hearts. Let me ask you this question. Why does the devil come and take the Word of God out of your heart? Why does he do that? Just think. There's 100 answers, but I want you to answer it in light of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Why does the devil come and take the Word of God out of your heart in light of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17? That's right. He does not want you to be perfect. He knows if you keep growing up and being what you ought to be, that you can trample Satan under your feet. He knows that he's a roaring lion going to and fro in the earth seeking whom he may devour, and he knows he cannot devour you if you know the Word of God and hold on the Word of God. And as Brother James said earlier this morning, hide the Word of God in your heart so that you might not sin against the Lord. He says here, they on the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the Word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. This salvation is talking about a salvation that comes by hearing the Word of God. It's not eternal salvation, but brethren, God's people who've been born of the Spirit of God and will be in heaven when this world is over, they need to be saved from the error of their way. They need to be saved from ignorance. They need to be saved to a knowledge of the truth. They need to be saved from a hell on earth to the kingdom of heaven while they live here in this earth. And if they don't hold on to the Word of God, if the devil takes the Word out of your heart, you'll perish in this world. God's children perish because they don't hold on to the Word of God. They don't perfect themselves. Verse 13 says, they on the rock are they which when they hear, they what? They hear. They receive the Word with joy. You know what the Bible says about a natural man, somebody that's not born of the Spirit of God? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Is this talking about a child of God or somebody who's not a child of God? Talking about a child of God. They on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the Word with joy. Brethren, if your heart has ever rejoiced in the Word of God, it's an unmistakable evidence that you're a born-again child of God and you have a great responsibility to hear, believe, and obey the Word of God. And if you don't do that and you don't keep growing, if you don't become perfect, you're going to perish. It's either perfect or perish, one of the two. And these have no root which for a while believe. Do they believe? Well, what's it take to believe? It takes faith to believe. Who has faith? Only those that are born of the Spirit of God. For a while they believe, in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they heard, they go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Now do you see the picture here? Children of God, they've heard the Word of God, they've received the Word of God, they've rejoiced in the Word of God, but they don't bring forth fruit to perfection. You ever seen a tree that just brought forth? I had, up until this past year, I had 3 apple trees in my yard. Had them there for 8 years. Every year, 2 of those apple trees, they bring forth apples, and they weren't crab apples, they were supposed to be regular apples. They get about this big, and they just die, rot. Never, I ate one of them, but it was just because I wanted one so bad. But those apple trees never brought forth any fruit to perfection. Now I've cut them down, they're gone. Say it again. Oh, is that it? Poor apple tree should have gone where it was colder. I should have known better than to plant them there. What I'm trying to get across is many of God's children don't bring forth fruit to perfection. Have you ever been there? Are you there now? Where you're not bringing forth fruit to perfection? Have you ever talked about and said and thought about what you're going to do? You've heard the word. You know you need to change. You know you ought to change. You say you're going to change, but you don't change. You know what you're doing? The cares and the riches and the pleasures and all these other things are choking out the word, and you're not bringing forth fruit to perfection. The only way you'll ever bring forth fruit to perfection is if you hear the word of God and hold on to it and continue to follow in the word, and then you can be saved and you can be perfect. Everybody understand what I mean? Do this if you understand what I mean. You can be perfect. You can be perfect. You can be perfect in the way the word of God is talking about here. Now, I'm just going to mention two other things. I'm not going to turn there, but listen. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul makes this statement. He says, I want to be perfect. I want to be perfect. He says, I'm striving to be perfect. He said, I haven't already attained this perfection I'm striving for, but I'm striving for, and if you go home and study it, he was striving for absolute perfection. That was his goal. And then he comes down in the 15th verse and he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, let's do the things that we know to do. Well, now, he's already reached a perfection, hadn't he? He'd reached a perfection, but he was trying to strive for a higher perfection than he could ever reach in this world. Now, go with me in closing. I want to mention just two verses of Scripture in closing. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Please look in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll close right here. Why has God given us His Word? Many different reasons. One reason God has given us His Word is for the perfecting of the saints, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Listen, what if you do get perfect? Everybody follow what we're saying here? What if you do reach this level of perfection that God's children can reach in this world? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. The Word of God says, finally, what's the next word? Brethren. Finally, brethren, farewell. It was all over as far as this admonition, writing to them, talking to them, trying to convert them. Finally, brethren, farewell. What's the next thing he says? Be perfect. Be perfect. Now listen carefully. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. What's the result of doing that? What's the result of being perfect? And the God of love and peace shall be with you. I want you to follow the difference. Now, listen very carefully. Does this say that if you're perfect, you get to go be with God when you die? No, that's not what it says. It says if you be perfect, the God of love and peace shall be with you. This is not talking about us dying and going to be with God as a result of us perfecting our lives. It's talking about the fact, the truth, the wonderful truth that God comes down and dwells with us here. The God of peace and love will be with you if you will be perfect. Here's one other thing the Scripture says. It says, mark the perfect man and behold, listen carefully, mark the perfect man. Watch the perfect man. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for his end shall be peace. You want to see somebody that's in the kingdom of heaven having that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, maintaining that in their lives, it's going to be a perfect man. May God help us to thank the Lord. He's given us His Word. May God help us to obey His Word so we can be perfect, is my prayer for Christ's sake.